Tonight it's really exciting. We're going to have someone from our own ranks, from our congregation, ministering the word to us. Of course, we all, I know some people are getting excited already. I hope you know who this person is. So, Mrichen, you can come down so long. She's going to share the message with us. Oh, yes, Mrichen. Before I give the mic to Mrichen, of course, most of us know Mrichen is head of our intercession and the core group of intercession, and really she's been doing great work. Everyone will agree to that. The prophetic activation that's been happening in the small groups over the last year and a half. But more than the things that Mrichen does, she does really a lot in the church. But more than that, the person who she is, just Mrichen being Mrichen, and I'm sure most of us will agree, challenges us in a commitment to Christ and a commitment to God and a commitment to the kingdom, and not just a commitment to her heart. So I'm really excited for us as a congregation to receive from you. So let's put our hands together for Mrichen tonight.
Thank you, Reino. I was thinking, what am I going to say while I'm preparing my notes? Because pastors usually, while they prepare, they're saying this profound stuff. So while we were praying now, I was just so reminded, everyone praying out loud. When we're in Congo, this is how the people pray every time. And I would love to see us do this more. It's just coming before God, just crying out, say, Lord, this is who we are, and this is what we're praying for. But Reina, thank you for those words. I must say, I decided, since I'm standing here today, I must also use this opportunity. So I really just want to honor our leaders, Reina and Leona. I was thinking, I'll look in the camera, Leona. I really want to honor you as leaders who lead with zeal and have such a passion for this congregation and loves us so much. It's really such an honor to serve under you and follow you as you follow Christ. So I really want to thank you for that. And Monis also. And then I must also just thank my parents that came all the way from Paul. These are the people who really taught me who God is. And from an early age taught me how to walk in His ways and really imparted the gift of faith to me. So the reason why I can stand here today is because of them. So I really want to say thank you. Good. So before I start crying, let's pray. Father God, we just want to come and exalt you, Father, in this place tonight, Father. We want to say, Father, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord. There's no one like you. Nothing can compare to you. Nothing can ever come close to you. We say, Father, tonight it's about you and your glory, Father. We say, come and have your way, Father. Let us see you, Father. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Good. So, they said I mustn't look at the screen, but I just did, anyways. So, the preaching tonight, or the sermon, is about fasting. Now, when I told a few people that we're talking about fasting, their reactions was quite interesting. Some would be like, oh, and some would be like, really? Does that mean we're going to fast for 10 days? Well, we don't know. Depends on what God's going to speak to you about tonight. I was thinking about what to call the sermon. I mean, you can't call it fasting, although I already did. But something that stood out for me is, this much, O God, I want you. And when we look at Philippians 3 verse 8, it says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I think if we just remember that little verse tonight as we leave here, I don't have to talk any further. If you just go and meditate on this scripture, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ, I think we have it. But not for me just to talk for 2 minutes, let's continue. So it was a few years ago, I really started to see God. I was, God, who are you? I realized I don't know you. I came to a place where I was satisfied with who God was, and I realized, no, there's so much more. And as I was seeking God, God came to speak to me about fasting. And I realized, sure, I'm really not good with fasting. I love food. I love chocolates. I really, sweet things is like my thing. I love to eat and I love my mom's cooked food. So when I had to fast, all I could think of was like, what am I going to have when I break fast tonight? Like, and I'll think of all this funny stuff of droewors. I mean, I never eat droewors, but the day I fast, I want to eat droewors when I break my fast that evening. It was really a difficult thing for me, and I realized, sure, I'm not doing this thing right, am I? There must be more than this, than fasting and just thinking about food. What I'll do, I'll pray, because I know I must pray, you know, because otherwise it's starving. So I'll pray just to make sure I didn't just not eat, I prayed also. But I missed something in there. And it was so cool, God started to speak to me about fasting, and I decided, okay, I'm going to read about fasting. I'm going to look at the Word. What does the Word say about fasting? And even more than that, I called my friend, she's now in South Korea, and I said to her, listen here, God is speaking to me about fasting. I feel we must fast for 3 days. And she's like, whoa, yeah, no, I'm also struggling with fasting, let's do it. So we made a time and we said, okay, in 2 months' time, we're going to fast for 3 days. Now, up to then, I've never fasted for 3 days, so this was like big. Like, God, you really have to come and show me what fasting is now. Otherwise, I don't know how I'm going to make three days of fasting. Anyways, Rachel, thank you for coming from Stellenbosch. So what happened then is in that 2 months leading up to that 3 days fasting is that we would like read the Word. We're like, God, what is fasting? We like read books about what fasting is, and we'll SMS each other and we'll get so excited. So when that 3 days came, we were so like ready for this 3 day fast. And I've never experienced something like that, fasting for 3 days and just worshiping God and just being in His presence and how God spoke to us in that time. And telling us stuff to come in the church that actually happened later that year, which was incredible for us. So what I want to do tonight, I'm not going to tell you I know everything about fasting. I sure don't. But I want to share with you some of the stuff that God revealed to me about fasting in that time. Some of the stuff He came to lay in my heart about that. And when Rana and Leona asked me to preach about fasting tonight, I was like, yeah. Can't wait to do this and share what God has shared with me. So if we start, where does fasting start? Or what can we say is the beginning point of fasting? Well, I've never been in love, true story, but I've seen many other people being in love. Like, I don't know about you, maybe the students can tell us, but it's like you don't want to eat. Some of my, they're laughing, so it must be true. Some of my friends, like really, they lose quite a bit of weight when they fall in love, because all they can think about is this person. They can just think about this person and how they, you know, they don't even have to think about the food. It's just like, ooh, it's cold or whatever. And so all is about this person. So food isn't like important. And I think in a way that's the same with us. We're fasting. And the starting point is that, God, you know what? I long for you so much. I so want to sit in your presence. I so want to hear your voice, Lord, that I don't want to eat today. Father, I don't even want to think about eating. Lord, I just want to see you, Father. I just want to sit at your feet and spend time with you, Father. Food is not important to me. Today, Lord, I long for you. I want to sit with you. I want to hear your voice, Father. This is what I want to do. And it was so cool for me. Susan is here. My flatmate, when we came from Awaken, she told me, she's like, yo, we were sitting in God's presence. She's like, we were worshiping and God's presence was there and I didn't want to go. And I think it's that thing, like, you don't care what comes the evening. You just want God. You just want to be in His presence. You don't want to leave. You just long for Him so much. And an awesome example of this is Anna in the Bible. I don't know if you've read the story, but in Luke 2, verse 36 to 37, I'll just read verse 37. It says, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. I think she understood something about longing for God. She understood something about my Messiah is coming and I want to see my Messiah coming. Therefore, I will sit in this temple and pray and fast all day and night. I think, what an example. I don't know to which temple I'll go, but praying and fasting is just so part of a life. Then we see it also in Psalm 63 and 84 with David, just the way he writes his psalms, he says, "Oh God, you are my God, early do I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." I think they understood something about, Lord, I don't need food, I just want to sit with you. Father, I just want something from you. And then if you look at the second reason, before you all feel like, oh no, is that why we fast is we realize we don't long for God like this. When I look at Anna and David, I realize that I don't have that longing where I'll say, you know what, God, I'm going to give up lunch today because I just want to seek you. We realize we don't have that longing for God. So we say, Father, I'm going to fast today because I realize I don't have that longing. I realize, Father, that I don't cry out to you. My flesh don't long for you like that. Father, but I want that. I know I'm missing something. Therefore, Father, I'm going to fast today, or I'm going to give up this thing to follow you, to follow after you. And the thing is, just before we continue so we're all on the same page, is that fasting is not only not, you know, eating and drinking certain stuff. Mostly in the Bible, it is giving up some food, sometimes even giving up the water. But it can also be stuff in our lives, stuff that takes priority, even watching TV and that stuff. Am I running in front? How do you say it in English? Anyways, so what is this stuff that we realize we don't have this longing for God? What is this stuff that, I mean, if we don't have this longing for God, there must be something that's filling that place, right? There must be something that's more important to us than actually longing God, longing for God, longing for His presence. And it's quite interesting that it won't be the stuff that we think it is. I mean, it would be great if it was the enemy standing and saying, no, you won't long for God anymore. Or no, you won't come closer to God. Stop this desire for God. And many times it's not that. And then we can see it in the parable that Jesus told the people of the great banquet. I just love it. God's been giving this to me now for a few months, actually. It was this guy inviting all the people to come to the great banquet. I think you've all read the story of this guy inviting. He sent his servant out. He says, go and invite everyone. And then to hear the excuses was quite interesting. He said, the first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, if you look at these excuses, it's quite good. I think it's good excuses. There's nothing wrong with these excuses. There's nothing wrong with buying a piece of land or oxen or getting married. I think if you're married, yeah, you'll agree with me. There's nothing wrong with getting married. But the thing is, this is things that was placed above what God wanted at that point. It's things that was placed above God. And then we also look at the parable of the sower. Also, what Jesus told in the New Testament, he said, the seed that was sown was the word. And then he talks of all the different ways or grounds that the seed was falling on. And the one in Luke 8 verse 14 is just so cool for me. It says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And I love the way it says in Mark 4 verse 9, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word. And I think that's exactly what it is. We realize, or we don't realize, but other things of this world is just so much better for us. The desires and the pleasures of this world is actually just so more inviting at the moment than us wanting to go sit with God, than us really longing for God. And I mean, that can be anything. It happened in my life a few years ago, maybe not that long ago, where I was playing a lot of netball. And man, I love it. I love playing netball. I'm not that good at it, but I really love playing it. And what happened is, like, every evening of the week, I'll be playing netball. And over the weekends, I'll be playing netball. And then one day, I realized, you know what? This is actually something that I've placed above God. It actually turned into an idol into my life, where it was actually more important for me to go play a game than it was to do God's purposes and His will for my life, and to sit with Him. I just remember how many times I would be like, oh, sorry, I can't make small group tonight. I have to go play a netball game. And there's nothing wrong with playing netball. That's the thing that I want you to see tonight. But when it starts to be more important than who God is for us and what God is wanting from us, or actually God just wanting to spend time with us, it's not so good anymore. So actually the great stuff in our lives can cause more damage than we think the evil stuff around us. Are you all still with me? I must say, like, see, I shake the person next to you. Yeah, I like this. The other thing about fasting, we see now that the first thing would be like, Lord, I desire you more, so I'm going to give up my food. The other thing is, I realize I don't desire you like this, so I'm going to fast so that I may come closer to you, so that I may see more of you. And then when we step into that place where we say, okay, I'm going to fast now, then we realize what controls us. It's interesting. I never thought about it like this until God actually came to show me this. But when we fast, stuff comes out. I don't know if you've realized it, but if you, that day, fasting for someone on missions, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, can I just eat because I'm so angry at my boss right now, you realize what is the things that controls you. And by the way, we just came back from missions, Issy and myself. It was quite awesome going to Zimbabwe, and thank you for everyone praying for us. I think I'll just throw in a testimony here quickly so that I can also relax a bit. So what happened is, the one night we're making fit cook. Now, I don't know why that's in English, fat cakes. So we were making fit cooker, and I don't know much about cooking, but I think I was doing it the right way. And standing there and in front of the oil, and I said to Laura, just go fetch something, and she went to fetch something, and the next moment, the fat cook exploded, but like, it was just hot oil, and I was standing right in front of it, and when it exploded, it actually should have just like came into my face, and I still don't know. I'm like, an angel, I think it was an angel or God's protection, but my arm came in front of my face like this, and it's a pretty awesome testimony, because there's one spot on my face where the oil hit me, and I'm sure you can't even see it, how God came to heal that. But anyways, my hand came in right front of my face. I still don't know how. It's impossible. I was busy with the fat cakes. I'm not going to forget this. I was busy with the fat cooker, and my hand got in front of my face, and immediately the whole team, the ladies are there, and they're like around me and praying, and Esty's telling testimonies of other people that got healed with burning, and it was really cool in that moment just to feel, wow, something's happening here. And I looked at my arm like this, and I saw the blisters forming on my arm. And another testimony, how we got the right stuff on my arm, and it was quite painful. I said to the people, I don't want to know how the people feel that, like, the whole body get burned, because it was paining. It was, like, really sore. And that evening, we took it off, the bandages and stuff, and there was no blister on my arm. Like, I don't know if that's possible. The doctors must tell me, but there was no blisters on my arm. It was gone. And I don't want to show you. That might be a bit embarrassing. But even now, it's almost healed completely. And like I say, on my face, you can't even see I was burned. And that evening, they prayed for me again, and I had no pain that evening, and I slept through. So it was so cool just for what God did and how He came to heal. I can tell so many other testimonies, but let's continue with the sermon. So when we fast, stuff comes out, like stuff that we keep inside, that we don't even realize what controls us. I'll tell you another testimony. A while back, I decided I'm going to consecrate this year to God. There's a few stuff that I'm going to give up. I'm going to consecrate it to God. It's almost like fasting. I say, Lord, this is your year. I'm giving this stuff up, so I'm eating stuff. So I came before in front of the Lord. I said, okay, Father, I'm so excited. I'm going to give you these stuff for the year. And I, while I'm praying, I just hear coffee. And I'm like, no. No, I don't drink a lot of coffee. I mean, I have coffee for breakfast maybe or something like that, but I don't drink a lot of coffee. So I pray on and again I hear coffee. And I try to convince God. I say, Lord, I don't drink a lot of coffee. But if you want me to give up coffee for a year, great, I'll do it. No problem. It won't even be a struggle for me. And I promise you, in the first week, I realized how coffee had a hold on me. I realized how I would use coffee to motivate me to do certain stuff. Now, you might look at me like, whoa, really? But I think it happened to a lot of us. Like, that first week I had to meet with someone in the church, and I was like, don't worry, you can have good coffee. Like, I wasn't looking forward to the meeting, so I'll be like, don't worry, you can have good coffee. And in that moment, I realized, oh, no. No, I'm not going to have good coffee. So I realized my motivation was totally wrong in meeting people. It was totally wrong. I would use coffee as a motivation for me to do certain stuff. And it was so cool how God in that moment spoke to me and he said, you know what, it's not about the coffee, and I want to show you something here. That when you meet with people, you have an expectation with what God wants to come and do in their lives. So don't think about the coffee anymore, but think what God wants to come and do. Have an expectation when you walk into that meeting. And I tell you, since then, I'll pray before I go. It doesn't matter if I'm just having coffee with a friend. I'm like, God, you come and have your way. And it's incredible. Every time, I'm like, I can't do anything, Lord, but thank you for your will and your ways. And people get changed like this. So just giving up coffee, I realized what controls me in that situation, what motivates me, and I could give it up, and God came to do miracles. So what I want to tell you tonight, if you're sitting here like, oh, what stories? God don't just want you to give up stuff. He wants to come and give you more than that, show you more, show you what to walk in. So let's continue. There's a quote from Richard Foster. It goes like this. We seek the control it has. Next one. More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a cool thing. We're giving this up and say, Lord, come and show me what I'm full of. What controls me? Why do I get angry? What happens to me? What do I run to when I feel depressed or sad? Do I run to you, Father, or do I go sit in front of the TV and eat my ice cream? Or do I buy me a chocolate, or even do I go for a run to just come and fill things instead of saying, Father, what do you want me to do? Father, I want to come closer to you. I want to hear what is your will in this situation and to change from there. I think I need to drink water. Good. So how do we bring this back to the kind of fasting that we as a church are used to? I mean, when we fast for people going on missions, or we fast before we're doing Counter 4, Liberty, or we fast for someone in the small group or something like that. How do we bring this back to that? I mean, we want to make it a bit more practical, the fasting that we are used to. Is it to get something from God? Do we go to God? Do we fast to get something from Him? Is it to prove our faith and devotion to God? And I'm going to tell you to both these answers, no. And this shouldn't be our motivation for fasting. Let's read Romans 11, verse 35 to 36. Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, I don't know if you got that, but fasting is from God. It says, for of him, and through him and to him are all things. And not only are fasting from God, it's for the glory of God. If God gave us fasting, we're not going to take fasting and say, Lord, I'm going to fast for you so that I can give it back to you, so that you in return can give something back to me. It doesn't work like that, but sometimes we want to do it like that. We want to fast because we want God to do something for us. But fasting comes from God. So for us to realize that when we fast, it's not to get something from God, but it's to see God. Are you all with me? So we're not getting something from God. We say, Father, I seek you in the situation. Father, I lay down the stuff today, not to eat, not because I'm like, come and do something for me. But I give up to say, Lord, I actually don't know, Father, but I seek you in this situation. Father, I long for you to come and show yourself in this situation. Father, I long for your glory in this situation. And someone prayed about the sermon. They said they feel there's people that had really got hurt through fasting. Like that you'll fast and then God doesn't do what you wanted. Or you're like, God, but I fasted for this for 40 days and still it didn't happen. But then I want to tell you, it's not to get something from God, but to get to that place and say, Father, I seek you in this situation. Father, I'm going to give up chocolates. That's a big one. I'm going to give up chocolates, Father, because I seek you in this situation, in my marriage, in my friendships, in my work situation. Father, I actually don't know what to do. I'm not going to fast because I say, come, Lord. Now I've fasted, I've done my part, now you must do your part. Now, Father, I want to see your will, I want to seek your ways, and I want to see your name be glorified. Because it says in the scripture that to whom be glory forever. So when we fast, it's not about us. And it was so cool for me the other day teaching at Bible school about prayer. And I realized something there in that moment for the first time. Even when we pray, what is our motivation behind prayer? And when we look at James 4, verse 2 and 3, it's just so interesting. And I think many times this is the way we ask things from God. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And many times I realize that's the way we ask God stuff. We come to God and say, Father, give me this, but our motivation is for us. Or our motivation is to see this friend, you know, do whatever, or to see the marriage do this, or to see my work situation do this. But we never have the focus where we say, God, let your name be glorified. And I think that's fasting also. When we fast, we say, Lord, not for me, not for my passions, not for my stuff, Father, but come and show your glory. And I promise you, when I started praying like this, I said, God, your glory, your glory. Like I always pray, and at the end I say, God, for your glory. But then actually to pray and say, Father, come and have your will for your glory in this situation. It's not about me, Father. It's about you. Then stuff changes. And that's the same with fasting. That when we fast, it's not for us. Yes, we come and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do at my work situation. I don't know. My boss is gunning for me. What must I do? Father, I'm going to fast. I'm going to say, Lord, I seek you in this circumstance. Come and show me. Father, come and lead me in what I must do. Not so that you come and remove my boss, but so that you come and you show me how I must act. I really seek your ways in this. And we're getting to the time where God wants to show us every day how to walk and what to do. Even without fasting, God wants to show us where to go. He wants to show us how to speak, to who to speak. Let me keep to my notes. I love this fight, if you can call it a fight, in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3. It was King Jehoshaphat, and he realized all these different armies are coming against him. And his response was the following in 2 Chronicles. He said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And I was just amazed when I read that. I mean, when we read that whole story about the army and stuff, we read and we're like, they sent the worship band in front to worship. And when they came over the hill, they saw that the armies destroyed each other. Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I want to see that. But what we don't see is when Jehoshaphat actually said he feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And I always want to say the fast is just like adding on to it. But the most important part, I think, of that is to say, Lord, I seek you first. I fear, yes. I fear, Lord, but I seek you in this situation. And therefore, Father, I proclaim a fast so that we as a nation can seek you together. That we know we're coming before the Lord. This is not, we cannot do much about this, Father, but we can trust you in what you want to come and do. And I think it's the same for for a lot of us. There's so many situations in our lives where we're like so fearful of stuff, or it's just too much for us, or we're just getting so angry at stuff. But to be at that place where we don't say, I'm just going to, you know, continue with this and see what happens. But to be at that place and say, you know what, Lord, I really fear this thing now, but I seek you in this. I don't seek what my friend can do for me. I don't seek what the church can do for me. But firstly, Lord, I come and I seek your face. Beginning of this year, there was a lot of stuff happening in my life. And I had to make quite a few decisions, but it was like, dear McCall, what's that in English? Messed up. Thanks. So I was walking in the forest. I'm like, yo, what am I going to do? And it's too much for me. And how am I going to make these decisions? And what to do? And in that moment, God just spoke to me. And it was like there was two panels in front of me. And the one panel was just this chaos. Like, I don't know what to do. And the other panel was Jesus. And it's like God is telling me, now you choose. You can either go for this messed up one, or you can choose me and seek me in this. And I realized, yo, I wanted to make all these decisions on my own. And I was looking to all these situations, and I wanted to fix this. But in that moment, I said, Lord, of course, Lord, I want to seek you. And I started walking on. I was like, God, I worship you. I declare that you are king over my life. And I just exalt you for who you are, for how you've been with me for so many years, for all the miracles, all the testimonies in my life. And it was incredible, like, everything just like calmed down in me. Like there was so much peace in me when I just looked to Jesus. And I think that is the thing, that in every situation, God wants us to seek him. Doesn't matter. I mean, three armies coming against you. Joseph was like, Father, I fear. If a king says, Lord, I fear, then you must know there's big trouble coming. But what happened is that the armies destroyed each other. And I must say, I was so stressed about the things, but God came and everything just fell into place. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't worry about stuff or whatever, but I say seek God first. Seek him in every situation. We so easily want to carry our own stuff. But let's lay down in front of God and say, Lord, I seek you. I glorify you. Your name must be glorified in this situation. So about 10 years ago, I did Liberty. So yes, I turned 30 this week. I'm getting old. But it was so cool for me. It was the first time that I fasted for a specific purpose, if I can say it like that. I heard about Encounter 4 and I was freaked out. I'm like, people are getting delivered there. I don't know how it looks. I've never seen deliverance. I'm scared, you know. I'm like, God, I'm going to fast, but it's because out of fear. Like, you must see, Lord, I really seek you in this situation. And it was cool. That whole day I could sit with God. That whole day I was like, God, what do you want to come and do? I phoned my mom. I said, what is our family history? And I really wanted God to come and have his ways. And what happened is I wrote down exactly what God had wanted me to get delivered from. And the one big thing was fear of man. So the fact that I'm standing here is like testimony to that. And the other one is I had such a fear of birds. Now, my parents are here, they know. So I like once a bird flew into the house and I was like running out. Like I couldn't stay close to a bird. Like we're sitting at the coffee table, you know, when the birds come like under, no ways I'll be sitting there. I was so afraid of birds. So that evening I get there and God was like speaking to me, this and this needs to be dealt with. So that evening I was ready. And when we started, I was like, I'm going to get this stuff out. And that's not like me at all. But I knew God was for me. Just because that day spending with him, I knew God wanted to come and do stuff. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And I must tell you that evening I said, okay, Lord, I break the fear of birds in Jesus' name. And yeah, well, I didn't believe it at first. So when we drove home, I told my friend, let's stop at Analdi's place because she's got a bird in her room. I just need to go test this quickly. So we got into the room, and normally I won't be able to enter the room if the bird was out of the cage. Like, no ways. I don't know if you understand this kind of fear, but I couldn't enter the room. That night I walked into the room, and she was standing with the cockatiel, the bird in her hand. And I came to stand in front of her, and I put up my hand, and the cockatiel jumped from her hand into my hand. And I don't know who was more amazed, me or the bird or the people. But it was quite interesting. I was standing there. I was like, I still didn't like you. But the fact that you're standing on my hand was quite incredible. So God came to deliver me from that fear. And Encounter is coming up. And I want to encourage you to go. How God wants to come and do things. Not for us, for His glory. I mean, I can still be afraid of birds. And that wouldn't matter really. But God don't want us to be afraid of anything. It's for His glory. He did it. And then, so I'm going quite quickly here, but it's okay. Just one last testimony. I don't know, there was a few of us that was involved in it when we did the 7-day fast in our church, where our office got taken away and the church venue and even our pastors didn't have a house. So we realized, oops, something's up. And we got words from the intercessors, the big people, that actually Rondebosch wants to spit us out, like the land wants to spit us out. And it was so cool how everything worked together and we also as a church came together and we did the 7-day fast, really seeking God. It was so cool. It wasn't, I think maybe beforehand I thought, yo, we're going to fight. We're going to say, no, we won't go out of Rondebosch. But all we did, and there's a few of you here, all we did was see God's face in that time. And I'll never remember, I think it was the first or the second time we got into this venue. It was the first day of the fast, and we were in this venue. And Liana, I think it was Liana that gave the word that we have to do the dance of the victor. Now, I don't know if you've heard about that, but that's when David was in front of the ark when it was returning to Jerusalem, and he was dancing with all his might. We spoke about it on the missions. Like, he wasn't holding back. So Liana said, we're going to dance with all our might tonight. And it was so cool. We weren't fighting. We were celebrating. We were celebrating who God is, and we were dancing. And I must say, some people were like, was I really? I still have to fast for 6 days. But it was incredible how everyone and I, we were surrounding this place and how we were dancing before God, just giving Him our everything. And the end of that 7 days, God's name was glorified. We got this venue. I mean, in UCT. That's incredible. Our pastor's got awesome house. And we got an awesome a church office also. So God's name was glorified through that. And it so reminds me of Joseph's story. We didn't have to fight. We just see God glorified His name, exalted Him, and He came and He did the work. So I want to encourage you tonight to not think about fasting like, oh, again, I can't do this. But I want to encourage you, even if you just lay down something small, like, you know, watching TV, or, you know, Kathleen will kill me if I say this, but not run for the day, or something like that. But in that time, you're like, I'm just going to see God. God, the situation, I bring it before You. And in this time where I would normally watch TV or have lunch or whatever, Father, today I seek You. I seek Your will. I seek Your ways. And just to see how God comes. You know, the Bible says if we seek, then we will find. And God, even if we just come like a little bit, I mean, your heart doesn't have to be pure and you're like, yes, only You, Lord, like that. But just saying, yes, Father, I want You. Just saying that, God comes and is like, yes, I've been waiting for You. I've been waiting for You to come, to draw close to Me so that I can draw close to You. And I really want to encourage you with that. And then end up with this quote from John Piper. It's quite a long one. You can read with me or just listen to what he says. It's such profound words. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. I invite you to turn from the dulling effects of food and the dangers of idolatry, and to say with some simple fast, this much, O God, I want You. And this is really the challenge I want to put in front of us all. Myself included, is to say, Father, I give You this because I want You this much. Father, I surrender this to You because actually I want You more than this. I want You more than this. And So funny, this morning I was spending time with God. You know, and you think, I'm going to, preach on this fasting tonight. And God came and he put a challenge in front of me. It's like, I was like in the place and I said, God, I really want more of you. And in that moment, God showed me something that I placed in front of him, above him. So I really want to challenge you. Go to that place. Say, God, I want more of you. Show me what is that thing that is standing in the way of me really desiring more of you, wanting to step into you, wanting to hear your voice, Father, wanting to feel your presence, wanting to walk in the ways, in your will, what you have for me, in everything, in every situation. I think it's here where I say, can the band come up? But I want us all just to close our eyes. And I'll pray for us. And I want you to really, really not tonight walk out and you know God actually wanted to come and do so much. God is always for us. He's always with us. And he always wants to come and change us. Not for us. Yeah, well, he loves us so much, but for his glory. So if you are here tonight and you hear of us talking about who God is and just this longing for God and you actually don't know who this God is, you actually haven't even ever, realized that there is a God that people long for. There is a God that loves us so much that he gave his only son for us so that we can come to him in that way. That we can come and say, Lord, we long for you. That we can come into his presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that God and you really want to know that God and you want to surrender your life to that God, I want to invite you to come to the front tonight. And while I was praying for the service, I saw this picture of just someone standing and it's like the prodigal son. You asked God for inheritance and you went into the world and you've stuffed yourself with the things of the world and it was quite fun and you had good times. But what you realize is there's nothing like God. What you realize, there's nothing like our God. And what I saw is this picture of God standing with his arms wide open. He's standing with his arms wide open and he's waiting for you to come back. He's like, my arms are open. I'm not going to tell you, why did you do this or whatever? I'm a God who loves you and want you to run back into my arms because this is where you belong. And you want to tell God, God, I'll do this. I'll be your servant. I'll do this and this and this. But God is saying, just come back. I want to put a rope on you. I want to give you bracelets. I want to give you a ring because you're my child. So also, if you are that person that really needs to run back to God tonight, I also want you to come to the front. And then there's a second one. If you're here tonight and you really realize that, God, I've come to a place where the things of this world is just so much more important than you. Even simple stuff. Father, I find myself that I'll rather do this and this and this than spend time in your presence, Father. Or I'll rather do this and this and this than seek you. If you're there tonight and you realize, but sure, but I really want to be at that place where I say, Father, I want to seek you. God is not standing here tonight and with a lot or something and he's saying, come back to me or why didn't you seek me? He's standing here and he's waiting for you to say, Lord, I seek you. I seek you. And if you're there tonight and you really want to make that commitment and say, Father, I want more of you, Lord. I want to seek you more. And even if you decide tonight, maybe God's speaking to you and you feel, I have to give up this thing. I actually feel that some of you know already what is that thing that is taking place before God. And if there's things that's in front of God, that's above God and taking more time and stuff than what God wants you, then I also want to invite you to come to the front just to come and surrender and also just to make a commitment and say, Father, yes, I'm going to give you this. I had to do it this morning. I had to come before God and say, sure, I first wanted to make excuses and say, no, it isn't like that. No, I realized, sure, it is. And I had to just give up something and say, Lord, you know what? I do seek you with everything. And I want to see your kingdom come. And I want to see your will be done. So I hope I'm not confusing you, but I'll end off in prayer. And then if you, one of those people And I want you to come to the front, and there will be some people also praying, praying with us. So let's just pray. Thank you, Father, that tonight we can give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Father, tonight that we can say, there is nothing like you, Father. There is nothing like your presence, Lord. That better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Thank you, Father, that we can run to you tonight and say, Father, we do want more of you, Lord. And Father, we do want to give you all the stuff that's holding on us. Father, and how we get so like trapped in the things of this world, Father. We just seem so much more. But Father, thank you, Lord, that tonight we can come to this place and say, Father, you take first place, Lord. Father, we lay down all our idols, Lord. We lay down, Father, the things that take priority above you. We lay down the things that motivate us, Father, to do certain stuff in the kingdom, Lord. And we say, Father, come and have your way in us, Lord. We surrender, Lord. We surrender our ways, Father. We say, Lord, have your way. And I thank you for this evening, Lord. I thank you for every person here. And I thank you, Lord, that your plans for us are good, Lord. Every person sitting here, Father, that you are a Father that is a good Father. Father, that loves your children and has good things for your children. Father, that you can't wait to show us those good things. You can't wait to sit with us and show us how much you love us, Lord. We say, Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Let your will be done, Father, and let your kingdom come. And let your name be glorified above everything in Jesus' name. Amen.